In today's news headlines, Kirstjen Nielsen, head of the Department of Homeland Security, announced her resignation on Sunday night after meeting with President Donald Trump. Nielsen's resignation will be effective on Wednesday and comes shortly after Trump withdrew his nomination of Ron Vitiello to head the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, saying he wanted someone, quote, tougher. In her resignation letter, Nielsen wrote, "I hope that the next secretary will have the support of Congress and the courts in fixing the laws which have impeded our ability to fully secure America's borders and which have contributed to discord in the nation's discourse." On Monday morning, she spoke outside her home to reporters.
I just want to thank the president again for the tremendous opportunity to serve this country. I'm forever grateful and proud of the men and women of DHS who work so hard every day to execute their missions and to protect the homeland. I really look forward to continuing to support them from the outside. I spent the last 24 hours since yesterday talking with government officials, with administration officials, members of Congress to ensure a smooth transition. As you know, DHS has a vast array of missions. I want to make sure that we continue to execute them all with excellence through the transition. I share the president's goal of securing the border. I will continue to support all efforts to address the humanitarian and security crisis on the border.
That's outgoing Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen addressing reporters outside her home on Monday after announcing her surprise resignation. Also on Monday, the New York Times editorial board said that she, quote, will be remembered for the forced separation of thousands of migrant families, but that her replacement could be worse. Kevin McAleenan, head of Customs and Border Protection, will step in as acting Homeland Security Director. NBC News is reporting that Trump forced Nielsen out in part because he wants to reverse his own executive order from last year, halting the family separation policy at the U.S.-Mexico border. Trump's hawkish white supremacist advisor, Stephen Miller, who is known to have designed the president's harsh policies aimed at traumatizing immigrants as a deterrent, is apparently pushing for more agency heads to be pushed out. On Friday, government officials filed a document in a court case to reunite separated children with their parents, saying it would take them, quote, at least 12 months and possibly up to 24 months to finish the task. Also on Friday, Trump visited a section of refurbished fencing at the border in Calexico and announced that the nation was too full to take in more migrants.
The system is full. And when it's full, there's nothing you can do. You have to say, I'm sorry, we can't take you. We've been trying to take people, and I have to disagree with it. We've been trying to take people, and you can't do it. You can't do it.
That's Trump on Friday speaking at the U.S. border. In other news, state lawmakers in New York are attempting to obtain Trump's state tax returns. In parallel with a federal effort in the House, a bill expected to be introduced this week would request returns from the New York Department of Taxation and Finance. New York State Senator Brad Hoylman said the bill was, quote, a safety valve for any attempt by the White House to block the Congress from doing this at the federal level. In Louisiana, a spate of church fires has authorities worrying about a suspicious trend. In the span of just 10 days, three historically black churches have caught on fire, all in the same parish. State Fire Marshal H. Browning released a statement about the fires in St. Landry Parish, saying, quote, there is clearly something happening in this community. According to CNN, the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives are investigating the fires. Federal officials have arrested a Trump supporter in New York for threatening to assault and kill House Democrat Ilhan Omar, who is one of two first Muslim American women in Congress. Omar's office received a threatening phone call from the man on March 21st. The call was referred to federal authorities, who then tracked down the caller and arrested him. The man apparently later told investigators that he, quote, loves the president and that he hates radical Muslims in our government. Just a day after the arrest, as if to underscore his violent intentions toward Omar, the president singled her out in a speech before the Republican Jewish Coalition in Las Vegas.
Special thanks to Representative Omar of Minnesota. I forgot. She doesn't like Israel. I forgot. I'm so sorry. No, she doesn't like Israel, does she? Oh.
That's Trump speaking on Saturday at the Republican Jewish Coalition's annual meeting, reminding his supporters, many of whom are armed, just how little he thinks of the freshman Muslim congresswoman. In other news, breaking precedent yet again, Trump on Monday moved to declare the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization. It's the first time that the U.S. has given such a designation to the military arm of a foreign nation. In a statement, the president said that it, quote, underscores the fact that Iran's actions are fundamentally different from those of other governments. According to the New York Times, the action takes effect on April 15th and imposes wide-ranging economic and travel sanctions on the military unit, as well as the organization's companies or individuals that have ties to it, including officials in Iraq, an American ally. Meanwhile, inside Iran, there has been massive flooding due to heavy rains over the past 2 weeks that have killed dozens and displaced tens of thousands of people. In other international news, the U.S. has pulled its troops out of Libya, apparently a temporary move, as heavy fighting nears the capital of Tripoli. A rebel commander from an eastern province has launched an effort to take over the capital as Libya continues to struggle internally, years after the U.S. intervened and ousted the dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Doctors Without Borders is warning that hundreds of migrants, including women and children, are trapped in detention centers and could become victims to the violence in Tripoli. Saudi Arabia has come under fire once more for airstrikes on Yemen over the weekend that killed nearly a dozen civilians. Authorities announced that the strikes, aimed at a residential neighborhood in the capital Sana'a, took the lives of mostly children. More than 100 people were injured. Both houses of the U.S. Congress have passed a resolution to end U.S. support for the Saudi war, but Trump is expected to veto it. Meanwhile, Yemen is struggling with what is being dubbed the world's worst cholera outbreak that has already claimed the lives of thousands. Israelis are heading to the polls on Tuesday to determine whether or not to re-elect right-wing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Over the weekend, Netanyahu shocked the world in declaring that if he were to be re-elected, he would annex the West Bank, home to more than 2.5 million Palestinians. According to the New York Times, Trump's support for Netanyahu's hardline policies is a, quote, historic opportunity to proceed with annexation of some, much, or even all of the West Bank. And finally, this weekend marked the 25th anniversary of the start of the Rwandan genocide. Commemorations include a 100-day mourning period, the time that a pogrom of mass killing wiped out one-tenth of Rwanda's population. Lighting a remembrance flame in the capital, Kigali, President Paul Kagame said, "Together, we have woven the tattered threads of our unity into a new tapestry."